Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is a special edition of New Life Live. We've got a live audience. We're in Laguna Beach with some of our great friends. And then also, we've got two of the wisest people that I have ever met, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Dave Stute. Wow. Hi, guys. Let's give them
a round of applause.
Hey, guys. So glad to be here. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is actually a fruit. But wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. And these guys, I mean, a lot of people know the truth of the Bible, but these guys have wisdom. They know what to do with it in the right way. And I'll tell you, they have been some of the greatest blessings of my life. So Henry and Dave, welcome, guys. I'm so glad you're here.
Good to be part of New Life.
It's like a reunion.
It really is, yeah. We missed you.
Well, we hadn't been together in a while. I should say we actually started together way back. I'm not even going to tell which decade that was in.
Yeah, wow, that was in the 80s.
And then we did a bunch together, and then we're all off doing all sorts of different stuff, but every now and then we get back together. So.
Yeah, Henry and John were doing the West Coast Menrith Meyer program, and then when New Life acquired Menrith Meyer, then we brought them on to the national program, which was just absolutely the best thing that ever happened.
And Dave, too.
And Dave was with them. And so all of us started. And of course, I'd been working with Dave for a long time. So maybe I ignore Dave sometimes because we're the same thing. I mean, it's just amazing. And, you know, I remember one of the worst moments of my life. At the height of pain of betrayal, Henry had a boat, and he just says, "Steve, come on." And we just spent the night over in Catalina. It was just the best thing. And then all the other painful times, Dave has always been there. And so these guys aren't colleagues; they're caregivers. And they've been my hospice program when I have emotionally and spiritually died over the years, and I am very
well. It goes
grateful.
Both ways too. You've been there for us.
So. Take your time, Dave. Share that. All right. Well, this is great. Why don't we just talk to somebody here let's talk with Elizabeth from Los Angeles. KKLA is the station. Hi, Elizabeth. How you doing? Not doing too well. Okay. We can't hear Elizabeth, but...
Hello.
Hi. Hey, there you are. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and thanks for caring about me. How could we help you today? What's going on?
So my question is about an emotionally avoidant husband. Been married almost 17 years, and different repeated patterns of anger and outbursts towards me and the kids. And so how would healing, what would that look like? And for him, even if he's not willing, then what might that mean for me?
Okay.
That's far.
Yeah. And in this anger, what's the worst thing that's ever happened when he was angry?
Pounding on doors, mm-hmm. having a temper tantrum fit, pretty much.
Usually,
maybe towards me, and then as the kids have gotten older, towards the kids.
Usually, when a toddler has a temper tantrum, they're getting put in timeout.
Yeah.
What happens with him?
Well, wait, let's take a break and we'll find out right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Dave Stoop, Steve Arterburn here. And we've got a live audience. And let me let you hear this live audience. They can... Yeah, there it is. So we'll be back just a minute.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Every Man's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Every Man's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn, you're doing a remote broadcast down on Laguna Beach with some of our great, great New Life friends and two really amazing friends of mine, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Henry Cloud. And we're talking to Elizabeth, and Henry has asked her, in dealing with this toddlerishest man who throws temper tantrums, most toddlers go in a timeout, what happens in this case when this toddler man throws a temper tantrum?
So this last summer, I did ask him to leave, and he left for like 4 months because, you know, it's kind of difficult with all the kids and doing it by myself. And he did have some awareness that and take responsibility that was, and you know, wrong behavior.
What was he getting help during that 4 months? Was he in counseling or anything?
No. Well, he and I went three times, and then once he realized it was going to be put more on him, he didn't go. And then he did go to a couple of anger management and parenting classes, but nothing consistent.
And then how did he get back in?
I had at first told him there would be no reconciling without the classes or the treatment, but with the holidays coming and then I was able to get away, so then he came back and I left so I could have like a week or two break. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of worked, like, you know, he just ended up back in.
Okay. One of the things I'm thinking, Elizabeth, do you have, when he talks about this, when he's there with the counselor that y'all went to, how does he explain his behavior? I mean, if the counselor says, why do you get so angry, what does he say?
I think he tries to put, I don't know, I might be stressing a lot. Because I don't know what I don't really remember his answer. I could tell you maybe what I've come to think.
Okay.
But I think it's more out of fear, and he tries to control.
Yeah, it's fear-based. Part of what you've got to understand, Elizabeth, is that there's anybody who's avoidant operates out of a fear base that is covered up by the anger. And somehow, if you can touch that fear, it may make a difference.
So, if he's acting like a toddler, she's kind of potty training him. And he kind of trained him.
Stevie may be taking this
too far. Okay, I'll stop there. So, but part of the training is showing him what's okay and what isn't. So how does she reverse kind of the training that's been done that day? You can... Mm-hmm.
Well, Elizabeth, so the question I would have is, a lot of times in these situations, it's a cycle. You know, he gets triggered by something, and then he goes off, and then y'all get in your thing. Generally, in that moment, nothing good happens, really, because everybody's right. kind of operating out of their woundedness. But I would, the first thing I would do is I would suggest that you sit down and talk to him at a time that this is not happening. Okay, when everything is good, and I would tell him that you want to talk to him. Because you want something, you want you guys to have a better relationship, and you want you guys to be close, and you love him, and all this kind of good stuff, because that's true. But unless y'all find a way to deal with your conflict differently, that can't happen, because you can't keep moving towards him when he's angry. And so tell him you've chosen a time when nothing's wrong, just to try to understand, you know, what do I do that triggers this? Or what happens inside of you when you get mad? Or are you hurting in some way? And if you can start with trying to, like Dave was saying, if you make a safe place and try to let the fear emerge where he could begin to talk about that, then that would be a great step. Now, if he can't do that, then I think the part that was missing in your separation, because sometimes separation happens, but it should happen in the service of something. So the separation should be, if it has to go there again, I hope it doesn't, but any kind of limit should be in the service of a discipline that says something like, okay, well, I can talk to you again, but I can talk to you again only in the counselor's office. Or we can get back together as a counselor says that we're making progress and we're going together and that we'll all make that decision together. But what was missing in this is somebody sitting above the conflict that's for the relationship and trying to help both of you from either side. That seems to be a missing piece.
Yeah. And what I like is that you're going to the we versus him right. or me. It's a nice thing. Yeah, Dave.
Well, nothing changes if you don't deal with it in the way you're describing, Henry, and see if you can get the fear to emerge, and where he begins to talk about some of the things that he's afraid of in relationship, and maybe he can make a beginning.
And are you aware of what his childhood was like? Just curious.
Yeah, I just found out last year that it was pretty emotionally and physically abusive by the mom. The dad wasn't in the home, but he was around. But
And how long have you been married?
17 years.
Almost 17 years.
And last year, you discovered what his childhood was like.
I'm not accusing, I'm just saying that
is just so typical that
right.
this kind of stuff
right.
happens and you don't know where it came from. All right, I'm really glad you called. But Henry, go ahead. You want final comment there?
Yeah, I was just going to say this for all of us. I think that one of the things that we believe, which is wrong, is that if we point something out to somebody, then they're going to change.
Yeah.
Right. And you say, well, I told you this. I told you not to do that. I told you to pick up your clothes. I told you to whatever with a kid or whoever. And we know absolutely any psychologist that is worth their diploma will tell you that if there's a pattern, then feedback is not going to change it because there's no neurological circuitry up there to do it. That only comes through, first they have to be made aware, then there's got to be in the moment focused attention to that when it emerges, and then deliberate practice in doing it differently. Mm-hmm. And generally that requires a third person in the room say, wait a minute, don't interrupt her. You know, you're getting mad again. What's a different way that you can say that? And there's a training of new behavior in the moment. A lot of times, in the good situations, couples can do that for themselves, but sometimes they need somebody else to point it out.
Well, when it's as intense as what she described his early childhood like, it takes a lot more to change the circuitry.
If you ask a nice person to change, then they explain why they can't and all that stuff. The tough person defends, and then the mean person attacks you for bringing it up. That's very rare to even get the nice person to explain. Usually it's attacked. All right, let's go over here and talk with Amy from Asheville, North Carolina. Sirius XM, satellite radio.
Hi.
131 is the channel at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Okay, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm good, thank you. I just have a question about how to ask or tell my son about something. My son, he's 9 years old, and his biological father, we were married for a short time, and he's out of the picture, out of his life, you know, completely. And before he was two, I met my now husband, who has been dad to him. And although I haven't ever, you know, denied or lied to him, I've been fearful of him to know the truth, but I know I want him to know the truth. I just don't know when it would be appropriate or what I should do to, you know, should I bring it up? Do I wait for him to ask me? I just have a lot of fear about, I never want him to feel, you know, unloved or unwanted. And
So the question is when to tell him?
Yeah. I mean, that, look, daddy's not really, you know, daddy is this other man. And
No. Daddy
is. I don't really know how to bring that up.
No. His daddy is his daddy. Your husband is his daddy. Don't say that. Don't say your real daddy.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
You're right. Okay.
The other guy was a sperm donor and then walked away.
Right.
Okay. But generally, about 7 years ago would have been perfect. So we missed that. So you have to have it really clear in your mind why it wasn't just something that was part of what you talked about. You know, why you kept it from him. You're going to have to...
Well, I'm just saying, you have to know
exactly what you were afraid of, so that you can explain it in a way that he can...
Oh, I know what I was afraid of. I'm just afraid of hurting him.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
So, okay.
You know, when you see pictures or something, I would say, well, that's where we live. So that was before we met Daddy or something like that. So I've said things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I just don't know what to do at this point.
Would he be aware that you've said things like that? That was before we met Daddy?
I mean, I've thought, you know, I've tried to just, like me and you, that's the house me and you used to live in, kind of like that.
So he would be aware that there's a narrative of you and him before Daddy?
Maybe not. I mean, maybe I've thought that the things I would say, you know, those little things was kind of letting him know, but I never really thought of that. But hey, he probably didn't even catch on to what I was saying.
Well, if you've said that a lot, and he would be aware of that, and I don't know enough about you and him in the situation to say this specifically. I'd probably go talk to a good blended family counselor before I did this, if I were you. But I was thinking, if he's aware that you say that a lot, that was before Daddy and this, that, and the other, that may be a bridge that you can stand on, sort of like a rock in a pond. And you can stand there and say, you know how a lot of times I'll say, you know, this was before we met Daddy and this, that, and the other. Well, let me tell you more about that.
Now that you're nine.
Now that you're nine and you understand where babies come from.
Yeah.
You know, I had you. You know, with somebody else, and then your daddy came along and loved you and made you his son, however the appropriate words are. But I'm wondering if he's got that narrative to stand on, then that may be a bridge you can walk into,
and that's going to be followed by some really deep conversations with his dad about how much he loves him, what a gift he's been to his life, greatest thing ever, so glad. And both of you could say, you know, we had the best intentions, And we really, maybe we could have talked about this earlier, but we didn't really know. But the goal was that you would always feel like that, just as you are. Well, you are my son in every way.
And it's important that you do it with
right.
your husband.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not
okay.
your conversation
no,
it's alone. Okay. It's a conversation you have together with him. And
because we are your parents.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That reinforces the daddy thing.
I think all along kind of was my hope to have, you know, something to a way to bring
yeah,
about, you know, talking about it. I guess
right.
that was my purpose of saying those things,
yeah.
you know.
Well, and so I would just always refer to the other guy. I mean, you might say biological father, but they would always have biological in front of it. But I like it when you don't even have to use the word father or dad or something like that. But I'll tell you, when it's done well, many times there's just no need for any kind of resolution or sometimes.
Yeah. I can tell you somebody did it really well.
Who?
Jehovah.
Yeah.
He adopted all of us.
He is so smart.
He's so smart. He adopted all of us, and he made it a pretty good thing, and he showed us that he loved us, and here we are.
Yeah. All we had to do, don't eat the apple, watch out for snakes. We couldn't pull it off. But anyway, he still loved us. We'll be back after this.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things, that mm-hmm. love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Dave Stoop. Really glad you're listening to us today. And if you want information about New Life, you go to newlife.com or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to help you in any way we possibly can. It's also the place, the number, and the website that you can help support this ministry to reach some folks that wouldn't perhaps have help if it wasn't for the program. But right now, let's go to Rowena from New York City. And, you know, we were just talking about the app here in the room. She listens on our app right there in New York City. Rowena, you're on with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Dave Stoop, Steve Arterburn. How you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually, yes, this is actually a true friend question. I'd like to know.
Oh, sure, Rowena.
Yes, it is.
No, we believe.
So I've got this friend named Steve, and okay.
I'm sorry. Yes, so I have my best friend, actually. She's been married for 41 years, has three grown children. But about 13 years ago, she had a big fight with her husband, and her husband had gone out for a walk in the park with another mutual friend. And ever since then, this is 13 years ago, she's come to me in tears, and because she feels that her husband is more attentive to her need. To more thoughtful, more patient with her, and sometimes she feels that her husband is like not as attentive to her needs. When she talked to him about that, he kind of dismisses it and says like there's nothing to it. And whenever she's brought that up over the past 13 years, he would just say, "There you go again," and she would just say, "Stop it."
So she's still the point where, hold on a second. So the husband is still the husband's still going on walks in the park with another woman. Is that what you're saying?
Oh no, not walks in the park anymore. But that's how it first started.
What do the walks look like now?
Like sometimes.
So they're not walking. They're not walking, is what you're saying.
They're not.
What position are they in?
They're friendly because this is a mutual friend, uh-huh. Right? So she's single, and things like, for instance, when he goes to a he buys like he brings her soup, the girl and with her, my friend, okay. Being at home,
yeah. Rowena
and everything, and he doesn't bring her soup, yeah. Or something like that. But he doesn't tell her about it, and my friend just finds out that he dropped off some soup over at their house,
got it.
Stuff like that.
Or trust me, Rowena.
They're having a conversation like...
Rowena, we get it. Rowena, we get it. Totally get it. So... Dave, let's start with you. What do you think? I mean, getting a few emotional needs there met and ignoring your wife.
Well, for one thing, they never resolved whatever started this in the first place, yeah. And it's still an open issue. But the issue is that how he's treating her, not how he's treating the other woman. And she needs to focus on what she's feeling and what's going on with her in that relationship and what she needs and what she wants. And perhaps having they may need to be with a counselor to get that out onto the table and talk about it in a way that's going to lead to some kind of change and some kind of modification in his behavior. I don't think she can just do this on her own. I think she needs some help with it.
Any thoughts there, Henry?
Well, yeah, if it's been 14 years, I mean, obviously, if she brings it up and he's able to kind of swat that away,
yeah.
I mean, the behavior she described was, oh, there you go again, or whatever.
He just dismisses it.
And he dismisses it, and somehow that dismissiveness is working because it's been very successful for 14 years.
Yeah.
And so she's got to either in her own strength or the strength of her and Rowena or her and a counselor or somebody to, when the dismissiveness comes, say, you know what? You always say that when I say this, but this time we're going to really talk about it. And if we can't talk about it and you can't understand how it hurts me and we figure out a way for this to be different so it's not hurting me, then we're going to have to go talk to somebody together.
Yeah. I think they've got to go talk to somebody because the dynamic is so established.
And he doesn't respond.
He doesn't. He just dismisses it. So it's that... You got to get past that.
So, Rowena, the headline message in a soups to nuts kind of situation where somebody's having other needs met like this, you tell them, hey, it's not working. You tell your friend, it's not working. 13 years, that's a good trial period. You've done the research. Not working. You've got to do something different here. And I think these guys have given you some great, great stuff.
So you're saying this started with soup and now it's going nutty.
Yeah, it's very nutty. And so... So I'm going to send you boundaries, and I think that, I mean, most people in the Christian world have read it, and I think she would benefit greatly from that to see what to do different.
And also, Rowena, I would just say God bless you for being mm-hmm. a friend that cares enough to step into this. And a lot of times where you see marriages, there, one friend will talk to a friend, and that friend will kind of be further a split. So, well, you just need to get rid of him, and, you know, you kind of sigh instead of, okay. It sounds like you're for the marriage, and I wish everybody's friends would step in and be for the marriage and try to help it.
Absolutely. But, you know, if you're married to somebody and they want to go take a walk in the park with somebody, you park them right there and you say, no, this is not going to happen. And let's deal with it then versus the 13-year
trial. It's a little late.
Trial
run. Suit's cold by then.
No kidding. It is cold.
Suit's cold.
I don't think it's about the soup.
It's not about
it
the
isn't.
Soup.
It no. isn't. All right. More wisdom like this. More on the food program right here after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Here we go. We're back. Steve Arterburn here with a live audience, and really glad you're with us here today. And, man, I'm so glad we get to be with you. Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Dave Stoop. We're going to go right back to our phones here. If I can recover from the story Henry just told to the people.
Do you want to share that?
No, let's just keep that to ourselves. Okay, that'd be good. Let's go to Larry, Rockford, Illinois, and he listens on the internet. Glad he does. Hey, Larry, welcome to New Life Live. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going really good for an old guy.
Okay.
I got a question for you. I'm a big fan. I've met some of you at some of your events and so forth. But how does an avoidant, single, lifelong Midwestern small town guy find an accountability partner or a band of brothers to help him deal with that avoidant nature, or maybe move toward being a more of a secure connector?
Yeah, well, yeah. Congratulations to you. You're the first avoidant male that's ever moved that direction. So we're happy about
well,
that.
It's hard to get them to call in. Actually.
Yeah, it really is.
You've already started, Larry.
Yeah.
Just the awareness is a beginning for you. So you gradually
well,
add.
I've been waiting for Henry to get back on there for a long time. I read his book, How to Find a Date Worth Keeping, a while back, and I thought maybe that would provide a parallel path for me, because he seemed to not take any guff from people who wanted to make a change in their life, and it seems to me that's what I need, is somebody to kind of kick me along
so,
the road.
So, Larry, what's great is you're not looking for a female accountability partner, right? You're saying man, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay, good. That's good.
Well, you do what Henry suggests in that book. You get them one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you just add some and leave some out, but you begin to build a network of guys where you get together. I know guys who get together in McDonald's on Saturday morning with a group of guys that just kind of came together automatically or because they were there for breakfast. You go where there's other men that are looking for that kind of relationship. Start with a men's Bible study. Yeah. And just start
That's
asking guys if we can meet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Larry, how long have you been sitting around thinking you needed an accountability group?
Oh golly, long time.
What is long? Is that like all this morning, or is that 5 years? What does long look like?
No, I would say 5 to 10 years.
Okay, so let me just give you kind of a pretty dependable law, okay? Because I believe you really want to do this. Is that true?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, if he wanted to do it, he'd do it. Or, you know, if he wanted to lose the weight, he'd do it. Or if he wanted to make a career, he'd do it. And that's absolutely not true. Motivation is not the key factor that causes behavior change. And people believe that it is. In fact, research shows it is inversely correlated sometimes to whether or not somebody accomplishes something, because you're highly motivated and you really want it, and then you can't pull it off, and then you get depressed because you want it so badly. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if you've been wanting to do this for that long and you haven't done it, what that says is that it's difficult for you for some reason to make this happen. And so here's the law of physics I want to give you. Wherever you can't make something happen on your own, it requires external structure to make that happen. If my knee is broken or my leg is broken, then it needs to be in a brace. I can't walk on it by myself. Okay? So I want you to pick the least intrusive structure that already exists, where people are already being accountable, where they're already sharing. It already exists, and you don't have to create it and go join it. Dave made a great suggestion for that. Find a men's Bible study. Okay? I would want you to maybe look at a men's therapy group, because in a therapy group or a mixed, you know, co-ed therapy group where there's a therapist, because then you can say, I'm avoidant. I need help with my avoidance. And then in the circle, they would start pointing out to you when you're avoiding, and you'd have to step up and overcome it. So find some structure. Don't depend on yourself just to put a group together. Go join one that already exists.
Yeah, good idea. And you can always talk to that pastor of a local church, big church, head of a men's ministry, say, who, where, what can I do? You get somebody that knows where those meetings are. A codependency group is a great place also to find another guy that might need some accountability also.
And Larry, still there?
He is. I just...
Are you still there now? Still there, Larry?
Yeah.
Larry?
Yes, I'm still here.
You know, God bless you for the awareness and the willingness.
Yeah.
All you need is some help. You're unable to take that step for some reason, and you just need some people around you that can help you take the step. And you want to go somewhere where they've put up a sign that says that, we're here to help. Then you don't have to create it.
Yeah, that's right. And you're not the only one. I mean, it is so often people carry a cell phone around all the time, and when they need to make a call for help, it becomes a 2,000-pound cell phone. You can't even pick it up, can't punch the buttons. It's a common thing. Henry's so right. Motivation. That's not the key. Let's go to Rob, Ontario, California. KKLA's the station. Rob, you're on. How you doing?
Good. Hi, guys. Excuse me. Hey, I've got a question for Henry. I've been married a couple of years to my wife, and I've known her a long time. excuse me, I was just out of breath. But anyway, we went to some counseling sessions, and the one clinical psychiatrist, he hit it on the head for us and certainly my wife. And listening to you guys this morning, got some information. But when I try to talk to my wife about anything, there's immediate defensiveness and blaming me.
What does anything mean? Like pass the salt or what? I mean, when do you start to get into danger zone?
Well, certainly when I guess if I want to change her behavior or she's not taking care of her health and she needs to.
Hmm. What's wrong?
She had a stroke 9 years ago.
Oh, wow.
She's in good health now, but her blood pressure's high again. She doesn't always take her blood pressure medication. She's gained again. And
she's what?
She's gained weight again, and she's eating bad. So when I try to bring things up to her about that, it doesn't go well. That's just one example.
Yeah, what is...
Excuse me, I was just doing some push-ups on the ground. That's why I'm out of breath. But anyway...
That's always what I do, right, when I call into a radio show as well. Yeah.
Warm up.
I didn't know how long I was going to be on hold.
Yeah. No, that's good.
But anyway...
I'm sensing who the fit one in this family is.
Rob, exactly. We're going to give you some good advice here, but I got to tell you, I have never, ever... found the formula for any man to talk to spouse about weight. I mean, it's probably not going to go well.
Well,
because the suspicion is, All right. So, Henry, what do you think?
Anytime you start to parent your wife, I mean, you've changed the dynamic of the relationship, and you're going to get defensiveness.
Right.
Yeah. Does she have is the defensiveness mainly about her health?
Oh, no. No, it's everything, and it runs in her siblings, too.
Hang on. I'm sorry, but I Googled everything, and there were too many things that came up. Give me some specific examples.
We got weight.
Health is one, health, weight is one. What would be another one?
Communication and relationship.
About
never her. It's never. It's always my fault. My problem. Getting to church on time.
Okay. Hang on. That one's specific. So getting to church on time. If we're a fly on the wall, what does that 15 minutes, 30 minutes look like? Are you saying
I'm downstairs waiting for her? I've prepared the lunch. Because we usually stay after and eat, and I'm ready, and rush downstairs, and I try to have everything ready so that we can get in the car and go. But if something goes wrong or something, it's my fault. Or she starts, she'll take it out on me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, there are a lot of things that are difficult for us to answer, but that church on time, we're going to help you with that, Rob.
Well,
okay?
Because that's an example that we really.
That's not parental.
That's specific, and there are good answers to this.
It's not everything. It's
basically
something.
Our answer at the end of the day is going to be it's all Steve's fault anyway.
Right? Usually that's what I found. We'll be back right after this.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. They'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. It's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking to Rob. Rob, did you do any push-ups in the time we were away?
No, I'm calmed down now.
So oh, good. All right.
So Rob, real quick question. If she's not on the spot, is she pretty caring and empathic?
I'm sorry, she's not what?
If she's not being put on the spot about her behavior, is she normally a pretty caring person with a lot of compassion?
No. Well, for her grandkids and her kids, that's it. Anybody else, it's pretty much screw you. So.
In life?
Including her husband.
Wow.
Well, I don't mean to be so harsh, but no, that's one of her character issues that I deal with also is you know, I've seen a change in her recently in the last 6 months, because we're more involved in church. We're going to a ministry school. She's now volunteering in the office. And so I've seen a change in her.
Well, that's good.
Something's driving that change.
No.
What's that?
Huh?
Something is driving that change. It sounds like she's headed in a good direction.
She is. She is. And we both are. But generally speaking, you know... No, she's not. She doesn't. She does to a degree, but there's a big part of that that's missing.
Well, Rob, I'll give you one piece of advice about the church late thing. Were you a music major or anything like that? I mean, is the music part of the service?
Wait a minute, you're asking the push-up guy if he was a music major?
Yeah, I am. I mean, is that music part of the service vital to you or not?
It is to both of us. I don't make a big deal out of it, but it is to both of us because it's our worship time.
Yeah.
And
all right.
She wants to sit in a certain spot up front, and you know,
so
if we
look,
don't get up there and get in time. Then,
I would just let that be. The natural consequence if you're late is that she doesn't get the place she wants to sit. But you could do praise and worship on your own during the week and let that thing go. I don't think Jesus wants us fighting over how to get to be with Jesus. And so I really would just, that one area might lower the tension between the two if you could somehow just be willing to let it go. And then maybe when you let it go, she would be focusing on not getting the seat she wants, and then she might decide to do whatever it takes to get there on time. But I don't think you're going to win that battle. I think you're going to get resistance the more you focus on it.
Well, I get resistance on everything. That was just one small example, but I get resistance on everything. And you know, Henry said something this morning. I was listening to the, I think it was the first or second caller. This is what the psychologist indicated to her and me, is there's no neurological connection in her brain on these issues, and she's very narcissistic also.
Well, it may have been caused by the stroke too, some of that problem.
Well,
or it could be aggravated by the stroke.
Yeah, it could have been. I think a lot of this, from what I gather, and the psychologist told me, don't play psychologist, is I think a lot of it comes from, like you guys are saying, avoiding and acting out of fear based on what happened in her childhood at home with her and her siblings, because she's got two other... She can be very disrespectful to her husband, which is me, and she's got two other sisters out of a large sibling group that their husbands are miserable because of the way their wives treat them, and I don't want to get into that. But I told her, I says, I'm not going to live like that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I wish that we... hold on, Lynn. I wish we, you know, we had more time. I don't. I've got to get to my last caller here. But if you could get to that marriage intensive, I hate to give advice, and it's come to our intensive. That has a chance to get both of you back together. Henry, a final comment there?
Yeah, just real quickly. The thing that stands out here is you've said that she's headed in a different direction. Mm-hmm. There's something, there's some leverage that's moving that. There's some forces that are moving her into less being wrapped up with herself, you said. She's looking for ways to serve. She's going to ministry school. I would try to, I'd become a sleuth. And I'd talk to her about, so that's really cool. What does that ignite in you? And try to find out what's fueling the positive direction. Because one of the things you've learned is to try to move her in a one-on-one direction to own something isn't going to work. And so I think you've got to extract yourself from that debate. And then it's possible to talk to her at other times. It's possible to get her into counseling. It's possible to ask her, you know, do you feel attacked when I worry about your health? Or do you feel... And try to find out what it feels like to her for somebody to give her feedback. And then you'll know what you're dealing with.
I think that's a game changer if he goes to that mode. Got time for one more caller. Don't have a lot of time, but Lynn, I wanted to get to your call. Mobile, Alabama, listening on the internet. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
I'm fine. Hi, Tree. I'm glad to be getting in today.
Well, Lynn, you're going to have to be brief. I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call.
I know. I'll try. Okay, I got a call. I mean, I talked to a woman yesterday who discovered that my father was a relative of hers on one of the ancestry tests, well, the ancestry DNA tests, okay? And so I contacted her because she had called my dad a couple of times to find out what she wanted. Well, anyway, she used to think that my father is her father.
So from a DNA test, she discovered that your father is her father.
Yeah, that's what she thinks.
And what did your father say? What did your father say about that?
My father says she is not. Because given the information she gave us and the information that my father had and the location, it's actually his brother.
It's his brother is her father.
Okay. Yes, it's actually his brother.
Okay, so what's the question for us? What is the question for us?
I think I'm involved in this thing too deep. I'm trying to pass it on, but she's been very belligerent and won't see that. She kind of is now demanding a DNA test when I explained to her that even the registry information shows that my father is an uncle and not a parent.
Yeah.
It is a high relationship, but it is clear that it's an uncle or a parent. Is it uncle, grandparent, or a half sibling?
So your question is
what is the question?
She's now demanding a DNA test from him.
So should she give the DNA test?
Excuse me?
I'm just trying to get you an answer. Question? You want to know if your father should give her a DNA test?
Well, I think that's totally up to him.
That's kind of what I'm thinking in this whole thing. I don't know why you're handling this for him. She's after him.
He's
91
years old.
Lynn, why don't you just assume that your uncle is her father and just let it go? And just, he's 91. And we've got 50 seconds. So
I'm not sure what you're trying to prove or what you're trying to defend, Lynn. It seems like it's a futile effort.
Well, it's
easy to say, gosh, I empathize for you. I can see why this is important to you, but there's not really much way I can help you here. So, Good luck to you.
Because there's nothing
alone.
You can do. More Leave DNA testing is probably not going to reveal anything different. But some people, they get caught up and something, they don't let it go. But I think you could let it go, even though she's
between him
going.
And her.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Oh, look at that. Music. Hey, thanks everybody here in the audience for being patient. And for all of you who listen, thank you for listening. And those that support us, you have no idea what it means. But if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. See you next time. Thanks, Henry. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.